Harcha Gava Vachas. The Rosh says in Chavzayin, keep away or keep Gava and Kas, pride and anger far away from you. Uga'ar b'yetzer hara hamashiacha l'lechet b'darche libcha. Literally yell at, they translate as oppose, a little bit more of a bland translation. Oppose the yetzer hara, the evil inclination, hamashiacha l'lechet b'darche libcha, who tries to entice you to follow the ways of your heart. Ba'al yesh, don't do that. Kidracha, Hashem's drachim, or are good, or zach v'yashar. Another nusach is al taste al drachav. Don't follow his ways, because your ways, Hashem's ways, are zach v'yashar. Don't follow the yetzer hara. Yell at him, oppose him, and so on. When we speak of the yetzer hara, what exactly do we speak of? So here, this is actually a major fault line, major line of division between the more philosophically oriented thinkers of Judaism and the more perhaps traditional ones, the Kabbalists, many others. The philosophers have typically understood that the Yetzer Hara is simply a kind of metaphor, a shorthand for the aspects of a person's nature that cause him to sin, that take him away from God. The medievals used to refer to his earthly nature, his chomer, that the nefesh is pure and good, it's his base physical qualities that cause him to want things that are not good for him. We would say perhaps in modern psychology, it's the other aspects of his psyche, Freud or others, or there are different aspects of a person's psyche that push him away from things that are good for him, and that's the Yetzer Hara. The more traditional view perhaps, certainly the Kabbalistic view, is that there is a thing, there's a Yetzer Hara, it's a sentient object, it's a sentient entity, it's someone who plans and plots, as the Musar Sfarim say, who's single-mindedly focused on a person's downfall, pointed, of course, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unlike the Christians who have Satan as a kind of, Milton, Satan as an independent operator who rebels and who has his own career, the Yetzer Hara certainly is nothing but a shliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but certainly the impression you get from many statements of Chazal is that he is he's an operator, he's a sentient being who tries to manipulate you. That's his goal, that's what he gets paid for, that's his job, is to cause you to do sin. Now the reason this tends to be a dispute to some extent between the more philosophical thinkers and those approaching things differently, at least three reasons I would say. First, in general, the philosophers were a lot quicker to allegorize things, to interpret all kinds of chazals and statements in the Torah. And the beginning of Eov talks about the Satan, who was this personified entity whose job it is to convince Eov to sin, who talks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he advocates, he makes deals, and so there's certainly the Pashtus of Psukim, the Pashtus of many statements in Chazal, is that the Satan, the Gemara says, who's Satan, who Malcham Aves, who Yetzer Hara, but certainly the implication of many of these Chazals is that there is a sentient entity whose job it is to, and he's good at it, whose job it is to make people sin. Philosophers are much quicker to allegorize, while other schools of thought are much less so. Chazal said it, and they meant it. On another level, the philosophers are a lot less quick to invoke the supernatural, to invoke things that we can't measure and quantify and test and see. They believed in Nisim too, but they were much more reluctant to explain things in terms of supernatural, non-physical entities, or entities that were outside their notions of science. And the Yetzer Hara, as a being that we can't see and can't measure and can't talk to, is something they would have been in general much less inclined to accept. While again, the more traditionalist view has all kinds of angels, demons, and hosts of entities Hashem created beyond the flora and fauna and humans that we have on this world, they certainly would be a lot more comfortable accepting the notion of the Yetzer Hara as a being whose job it is to seduce people away from the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's a third reason, perhaps the most profound or the deepest reason, the most provocative reason, I think, is that the Kabbalistic view, which I think has become the dominant view today, is that the purpose of the world is to be Omid Ben Yisayim. Seel Sharam says it famously, very eloquently, many other Sfarim, Bali Musar, Bali Kabbalah explain that the purpose of the world is to be Omid Ben Yisayim. That is the whole point of the world. The Kabbalists explain in terms of Nama de Kisufa, if we were just bred of shame, if we would just get schar for no reason without having earned it by battling Nisyonos, then there would be, it would be shameful, we wouldn't enjoy it the way we should. And so the Yetzer Hara is an essential function of the world. Hashem created it because it has a point. Its point is to help us with, is to give us these Nisyonos. And thereby we can earn our schar and we can earn the great shleimus that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants for us. The philosophers do not seem to have accepted that being omed b'nisayon in and of itself is a purpose. They felt you have to be omed b'nisayon because otherwise you're going to do chet. But they don't really articulate this idea that being omed b'nisayon is the purpose of the world. It's something you have to cross on the way to shleimus. But the idea that Hashem deliberately put ra into the world, deliberately put nisayonos and tests that we have to overcome, is something which is pretty alien, I think, to the traditional philosophical view. So they typically wouldn't have viewed the ra as something that was deliberately created to be ra or to be a test. They would have said it's just a function, it's a kind of a byproduct of the way we are, that we have problems, and the goal is to overcome those problems. Hopefully we can elaborate on this a little further in subsequent segments.